I'm Sid Garza-Hillman, and this is what I think.
I'm going to begin by saying that I did not bring what I'm about to tell you about. I did not bring up. Okay? And I have to say that because I don't want to get accused of, you know, oh, you just talk about food all the time. I don't like talking about food. You guys know that, right? I'll rephrase that. I don't start the discussion about food, but I kind of like talking about it. I mean, it's what I do. I like the subject, but sometimes I don't want to talk about it because it's social or whatever, or I don't bring it up. And so I haven't for years. Like, I don't want to, you know, if you want to talk to me about it, ask me a question, I'll freaking answer it. I'll answer it till the cows come home, literally till the cows actually come home. And then I'm like, I'm done. They're home. So I'm going to bed. So I didn't bring what I'm about to tell you about. So here's the thing. I was at the resort today and was called over. Okay. Note, called over. I was teaching a cooking class to this nice family and I was cleaning up after it. And, one of the host of the restaurant said, "Hey, there's a couple over there wants to ask you some questions. She's reading your book." She said, so I wander over and there's this couple, very nice. And the wife is reading my Approaching the Natural book, and she just started it, and she's really liking it or whatever. But they had some questions about just books I might recommend for nutrition and et cetera, et cetera. And the husband is there, and he goes, and she tells me that the husband has type 2 diabetes, and she's, you know, not feeling as well as she'd like to feel, and so they wanted some recommendations. Cool, I'm all for. I love that's great, right? Totally in my wheelhouse. I'm like, let's talk about it. But then what he said was, well, I was on 5 years of an anti-steroid, anti-inflammatory for 5 years. And that messed up my blood sugars and everything else. And even when I got off the steroids, it never recovered. And now I'm diabetic. And I said, well, diet plays a huge role in diabetes. And even given whatever connection that was between the steroids and the diabetes, I have no idea what that connection is. I've never read anything about that, but I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying I don't know anything about that. Regardless, eating better is going to make a big old difference. And he said, well, I have one general rule I've been living with, which is to just make everything very balanced and not too much of anything. And that's just how I've been living for a really, really long time. And the wife, which was super, and I'm just standing and I'm sort of just hanging, not really engaged amidst kind of vague self-imposed nutritional guidelines. I'm not sure what, you know, balanced and too much of anything. I'm not sure exactly to what he was referring. But she said to her husband, you know what? He, pointing to me, he's a nutritionist. He's actually studied this, she said. Again, I kind of stood back. I let it all play out. I'm not going to get involved. I'm like, this is kind of like watching a show. And it made me think yet again, this whole thing of asking ourselves, which I think is actually one of the toughest questions. And I definitely asked myself this question, is this working for me? So he may have had this many years of living with whatever he specifically means by keeping things in balance and not too much of anything. But meanwhile, is diabetic and has been on, you know, was just off 5 years of an anti-inflammatory. The answer is, well, maybe that whole thing didn't work. That model didn't work. But what happens is, of course, we get married to that model. We identify with that model. We become that model. Then it's so locked in, we have a really difficult thing letting it go, especially if we don't have anything to replace it with. We don't want to just let it go. Then we feel lost. Which is why I go, hang on to that. And meanwhile, let's do some other stuff. And then you can eventually just push that out of the way and then become the new you, which is potentially going to be somebody you ask, is this working for me? And the answer is actually, yes, it is working for me. Anyway, it's just amazing. You know, people have these very strong opinions about nutrition and without knowledge and study. I mean, this is anecdotal. So I don't know. There's no studies on this, but it seems to me one of the premier subjects wherein people have very strong opinions who really have no idea what they're talking about, or they've been told bad advice by somebody not studied in it, i.e. a medical doctor or a freaking naturopath or whatever. And so either way, it's not well-founded advice or knowledge. And so, but they're just shooting it out there with you. Just shooting it out. Again, he brought it up. I didn't bring it up. He said, one general rule. I said, well, it doesn't really apply. It's a little more complicated than that in the nutrition realm. It's not about a balanced meal. That's an anachronism. It doesn't exist anymore. It's not real. It's a bunch of BS, frankly. Not too much of anything. I'm not sure what that means. I think he was probably getting into the everything in moderation kind of deal. And I think that's more complicated too. I think that that's a cop out for most people. Everything in moderation is an excuse for them to eat shit that they don't want to eat themselves. But with that said, I'm also about the most of the time thing, you know. But again, like, that's setting what is your most of the time versus what's mine. I don't know, and I don't want to impose my model that seems to be working for me. And I certainly hope that if it's not, I can adjust and do often. But that's a model that works for me given my life, and my job is to teach people how to figure out what their so-called balance is, what their most of the time is, which could be more or less than mine, but that's neither here nor there. Totally irrelevant. Am I right? Mm. Anyway, that was that today. I just hung back while she just totally had my back. She's like, yeah, listen here, bub, who I've been married to 40 years. This guy, he studied it. He studied the subject that you're talking about without studying it. Okay, and I just stood back. I was like, hey, got my chef's coat on. I know that I said many months ago that I would not do announcements on this podcast, and generally I don't. I'll throw something in there, but I got to tell you this. I'm excited about it. The Vimeo is rolling. I now have a Vimeo channel. The best thing to do is go to my website, SidGarzaHillman.com, under video, and you'll see video, Vimeo videos and YouTube videos. YouTube is obviously up until the point where I stopped YouTube. Vimeo, there's one video. That's what I started with. You got to start with the first one. So go check that out. And so I think you can subscribe on to the channel on Vimeo. I don't really know. All I know is I've got the videos on my website. And if you dig what I do in the video realm, go to my website and just watch them there. With that said, I'm also retooling a little bit of stuff here. Usually when I do a podcast, automatically an email goes out the next day and alerts my mailing list that there's a new podcast. I'm stopping that. I'm not doing it anymore. I'm not sending out an automatic email every week or whenever I do these damn things. What I am going to do is shift to kind of a newsletter-ish type model where I'll announce, you know, recent episodes of the podcast. I'll announce that my video's out. I'll announce news about Small Steppers, which is I'm doing a group launch, which I'm really excited about. If you are not on my mailing list, get on it, because you won't just go like, oh, I already know about the freaking podcast. I'm subscribed to it, but you'll actually get things that are additional to that, where I'm speaking, stuff like that. Okay, so just SidGarzaHillman.com, sign up for the damn mailing list. Don't make me twist your arm. Glass of water. No ice. I took a cold shower right before I recorded this, and so I'm just in that kind of mellow, cool thing, good, which is feels great. But no ice in the water because of that, okay? I need to explain that. Yes. The universal gamble. I'm thinking about this over the last week, and I'm not sure why it came up. I have been teaching some classes at the resort, and so in these classes, on occasion, I'll mention the fact that some of my best clients have been those that are in somewhat of a crisis mode. They've already, something has happened to them already, and then they're ready to make the right changes in the right way, which is to establish long-term behavioral change instead of, get swept up in a quick fix. They're like, look, this is happening. I tell me what to do. I'll freaking do it. And they do it. I think that we gamble on much related to our health, and that's personal health, that's environmental health. And I'm not really sure. Here's what I haven't figured out. What is it in us that frankly waits, and oftentimes too damn long? Like, we wait till it's too late. We wait till we're already sick. We'll wait till our environment, the environment is just tanked. And then we'll go, we should do something about this. This is bad. The gamble that we make is sort of like, will we be the ones to avoid the crisis? Like, I know cigarette smoking is bad, or I know eating junk food is bad, but you know, we all die. That's one of my favorites. But also, you know, maybe I won't, and not everybody gets sick. So maybe I'll be the one that lives to 105 on saltines and frickin' sardines and nicotines and Ovaltines. You know, all those teens things that we eat that are all, frankly, fantastic for you, especially Ovaltine. Will we be the ones to avoid that? Will we skate the danger? That's the gamble. We roll the dice on that. We go, will I be able to live my life without the environment, you know, being tanked? Will I be able to live my life without getting sick? Can I avoid it? And we furthermore then convince ourselves that the gamble is worth it. And here's why. Because we equate changing our bad habits with misery. That's the fundamental flaw. That's the fundamental flaw. We take a gamble and we say, look, I know I'm not doing the best for myself in the healthy living realm, for, you know, personal health, let's say. I know I could do better. I know I should do better. You know, I hate the word should, but that's what we say to ourselves. I know I should do better. I should eat better. Knowing that, we still do that because we equate a change with a less quality of life. We assume unhappiness without cheese or without our SUV. We assume that we're willing to take this gamble that I'm going to keep on the cheese, knowing that it's horrible for me, because the gamble is worth it, because without cheese my life is going to suck ass. And that's the game. I call this episode the universal gamble, which is that as a species we're in this realm where we, and again, here's why, and this is not the flaw of our species, by the way, but because we're in a choice-based universe, and meaning this, we don't, you know, in the natural world we would just find food and eat it. We wouldn't choose. We wouldn't go like, I'm going to choose this and not this tonight. We would wander like wild animals and find the food that's natural to us and eat that food. Very simple. But because we're in a choice-based universe, which is on some levels phenomenal, so great to have the choice that we have, and on some ways completely maddening because it puts us into a day-to-day battle of choice, which means oftentimes it's not really a choice. It's we know the path that we would like to take, and sometimes we don't take that path. And what that does is puts us in complete conflict and or cognitive dissonance. We separate ourselves from the bad decisions that we make, but knowing really that's not even a decision, we kind of know the decision we want to make, and we often don't. And that's the, you know, that's where I live. I mean, that's my whole life with clients and everything, is dealing with these cravings for junk food, these cravings for to sit on the couch and not get up, knowing that you want to get up, knowing that you want to eat healthier on some level. The universal gamble is this place that we find ourselves where some people are aware of their own bad habits. Some people are aware of their own direction, and they can see the direction and it's going south, and they're not going to change. They're going to, in a way, dig their heels in because on some level they've convinced themselves that to make a change, even if the direction is going south, that to make a change is worse. And it has to get very, very, very bad before a change is made. We'll continue that gamble on the off chance that we're going to escape that fate, that we're not going to land, that things are going to work out, that things are, you know, we're going to sit at that gambling table and roll those dice or flip those cards or whatever, and we figure we may be the ones to beat the odds. And oftentimes, or most of the time, we're not. And we like to cite the, you know, 105-year-old whatever. Look what they did. Yeah, they're one of millions that did that, and that's not the rule. That's the exception to the rule. The point of this episode is simply to bring awareness to this gamble that we might be making in our lone lives, to say, you know what, if you can get enough perspective to back out of your own life a little bit, and this is where, again, journaling, meditation comes in super handy, because you can kind of write about this stuff or think about it in a way that says, okay, let me take a few moments to look at this thing. Let me take some moments to actually ask that question that I began this episode with, which is this working out for me? And then ask the further question, if I did change, would my life be that miserable? If I decided to not gamble with my own health and happiness, to remove a lot of that gambling out of the picture and to say, well, let me make a change so that I don't wait until potentially things go very, very badly, and then I'm in crisis mode, and then it's a full-on stress, horrible thing, am I willing to just consistently and constantly say, well, I'm willing to take a gamble that that's not going to happen because of the off chance that if I make a change, it's going to be worse? Or is it going to be worse? Ask yourself, do you really think it's going to be worse if you make those changes? Do you think that your life is going to be worse? Or if you thought about it, could it be that it's going to be even better because you're removing, you're changing your own direction, you've taken the power back, your strength is all there, it's in line, and you're shifting that boat to a new direction. That's a massive undertaking and incredible, and when you do it, you frickin' feel amazing. Here's what I think. I think that gambling on our own health and happiness is much like gambling at a casino in this way. Most people lose.
Bigger than is drastic. So drastic. Sometimes I feel so ripped apart. Sometimes I feel so hard. Sometimes I feel so hard. Sometimes I feel so hard.